case six, 22-350. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Sir, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name and indicating the authority you are representing here today?
Yes, Sergeant Bill Bernabucci, BERNABUCCI, from the Torrington Police Department, here on behalf of Chief William Baldwin.
Thank you, Sergeant. Counsel, please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm James Hirschfield on behalf of the appellate.
Thank you, Counsel. Sergeant, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, this is in regard to the appellant's pistol permit application and in our checking of criminal background and in-house. It was shown back in 2016 the appellant was put into protective custody with thoughts of harming himself. And that's where this denial for suitability came from.
Thank you, Sergeant. Attorney Hirschfield, would you like to make an opening statement?
No, thank you.
Okay, Sergeant, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you.
Sergeant first.
Okay, so on 10-10-2016, approximately 1:15 in the morning, the appellant's mother had called 911 to our department to respond to their address. The appellant had come home with, how she stated, intoxicated, and she was worried about him mixing his alcohol and his prescribed medications for anxiety and or depression. Officers arrived at the scene, and although no description was given, it was the appellant explained thoughts of harming himself, and the officer also said possible alcohol use, verbal outbursts, and appeared very anxious. At the time, based on that information, officers placed the appellant into protective custody and transported the appellant to Charlotte Hungerford Hospital, where he was evaluated.
Cross, counsel?
Sir, if you know, was there any arrest as a result of this incident?
No, sir.
No arrest?
No arrest.
Nothing further. Thank you.
Does the board have any questions for the sergeant? Seeing none, Sergeant, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Counsel, you may proceed.
Thank you. Sir, how old are you?
46.
And how, are you employed?
Yes.
How are you employed?
Employed by Focus Center for Autism as a transitional case manager for autistic young men.
How long have you been with them?
5 years, six years next month.
Can you briefly describe what your job entails?
So I'm responsible for moving the young gentlemen out of our supportive housing programs into the community and then follow them for up to a year as they transition either throughout young adult services through DMIS, or into a CSP program, which is designed for adults.
All right, and you say you've been with them for 6 years?
Yes.
Are you subject to random drug testing in that position?
Yes, I am, if they do deem that there's a probable cause.
Have you ever had to submit to a drug test?
No.
All right, and you say you've been with them for approximately 6 years?
Yes.
And were you employed prior to that?
Yes.
Tell them.
I was employed by Center for Human Development as a therapeutic mentor. I was embedded in the State of Connecticut, Western State of Connecticut Mental Health Network, DMIS, in Torrington, Connecticut. I was there for 2 years, and then this new position with the job I'm at now opened up in a pilot position where they thought that I was suitable for, and I was the only candidate at the time, and I've been in that position ever since.
All right. Did you take the firearm safety course?
Yes.
And When was that?
August 30th, 2015.
All right. And you heard the sergeant testify about an incident which occurred on October 10, 2016?
Yes.
Was his testimony accurate?
Yes.
Can you tell the board what it was about? What happened?
So the genesis of that in particular event is a little bit embarrassing that my fiance is here right now and has to hear this, but I was involved with a woman who was about 15 to 20 years my senior at the time. I was enjoying life as a young man. Things started to take a little turn for the worse when she started exhibiting signs of what I believe to be alcoholism and mental health crises. It escalated to a point over a year where she, to my knowledge, she, what I believe to be, that she faked a pregnancy and said that she was pregnant with twins. She went to friends, family, my employers. She threatened to call employers to basically slander me because I wasn't completely on board with what she was saying. I've caught her many times in bars. People were telling me that she was out drinking, so I had no inclination that this woman was actually pregnant with twins, what she was saying. She caused my mother.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. She's saying she was pregnant with your twins?
With my twins.
Go ahead.
So this went over a year. Family was involved. It was a big mess. The date in question,
October 10, 2016,
happened after months and months of harassment and stalking, where she was, like I said, she was showing up to employers. She was showing up to my family's house, to cousins, to my mother's house. And unfortunately that night, I made a decision to go out with friends and ended up being extremely intoxicated under an extreme amount of distress. And I just had enough of dealing with the text messages and the harassment and the threats of, you'll never see them until they're 18. I'm going to take him away from Connecticut. It was just a lot of things going on. Given my background, my cultural background, there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to just kind of disappear and let this take place. In that time, I actually had contact with the former chief of police, Robert Milano, who was my best friend's father-in-law.
What police department?
Tonda Police Department. He recommended I speak to attorney Regina Wexler, who handles divorce proceedings and whatnot. She basically gave me two options. You either play ball with this woman until the gestation period and then you figure out what to do from there, or you have the right to just completely back out. In my heart of hearts, I didn't want to be the father who backs out until the last minute, so I tried to stick it out the best I could. It did not work out. As I then began to pull back from contact with her, that's when the stalking and harassment just escalated to an unbearable point.
All right, so what happened on October 10, 2016?
You said
you were out with friends?
I was out with my friends.
You got drunk?
I got drunk.
What happened?
I ended up back home somehow, and I woke up to just the police radio chatter. There was EMS there, ambulance.
Was this at your mother's home?
At my mother's home. I was staying at the time. She was frantic, hysterical, worried that something was happening to me. And then I ended up at Charlotte Humphrey Hospital. I woke up in the morning. It was quite a long time till they had, I believe, a social worker come out to assess me. Where there was nothing that deemed me to be homicidal or suicidal at the time.
All right, so how long were you at Charlotte for Humphrey Hospital? That one overnight?
It was an overnight stay. I slept through the night. According to the hospital record, there was no issue.
You were released the next day?
I was released right before the afternoon or right around the afternoon the next day.
All right. And we have submitted as an exhibit, Exhibit B, which is on the report from the hospital, is that right?
Correct.
All right. And on page 7, the doctor in the first paragraph says he is not suicidal, homicidal, or psychotic. He is depressed and anxious with affect with affect congruent with mood. He is angry about being here, I think, and angry at his mother for calling 911, but understands why she did. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is accurate. I understand.
All right, hold on. Were you then or have you ever been suicidal?
No.
Were you then or have you ever been homicidal?
No.
Were you then or are you now psychotic?
No.
Do you have a criminal record?
No.
Have you ever been arrested?
No.
Have you, a motor vehicle violation?
No.
We've also submitted as an exhibit a letter from Bradley Rosenberg, M.D. Who is Bradley Rosenberg?
My primary care physician, who I've been seeing since I was 17 years old.
He says that you have a history of depression and anxiety, never had any suicidal or homicidal tendencies. He is currently not taking any, I'm going to read it from the last paragraph, currently not taking any antidepressant medication, is that true?
Yes.
Have you taken antidepressant medication in the past?
There was a trial that he did at one point during this episode that is in question. It was a week long where he felt that it was not suitable. It was not making me feel well. In that time, he also has prescribed me Xanax for anxiousness when I fly. I fly frequently to Italy, to my home.
All right, so do you take Xanax now?
No, not unless I'm flying.
All right, and have you flown recently?
I have.
And did you take Xanax?
My last flight was this past Sunday. I did not take any kind of Xanax.
All right, and for nothing, you don't take it for anything else other than plane flights? Is that what you said?
That's what the initial prescription was for. I have taken it for some anxiety when it was related to a specific case, but I don't take it as a PRN. It just kind of sits in safe.
All right. So sometime thereafter, I believe in approximately December of 2020, you applied for a pistol permit. Is that right?
Correct.
And you were denied by the city of Torrington. Is that right?
Correct.
And do you know, you heard what the sergeant said, and we have his denial letter, the denial letter. Had you heard from the Torrington Police Department prior to that denial letter?
Yes, I did hear prior to the denial letter that it was early morning. I was called by an officer who was directly questioning my application for my pistol permit. It had been almost a year. I did check in with the records division a few times to process it, whether it processes this, and they basically said that due to the influx of permits being processed, that there was a substantial amount of wait time, so I didn't think anything of it. An officer who I don't recall his name or badge number did arrive approximately 6 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday, I believe in late May or early June of that year, saying that I was suspected to be involved in a crime in the city of Torrington involving was regarding an assault. I then willingly gave a DNA sample to the officer, and in that time we discussed, hopefully this would, because I was guessing at the time that this was holding up the process of the application. I asked if this would kind of speed up the permit being approved. He thought that was something that was naturally in the way, given that it was an open investigation. To my knowledge, nothing came of that. I submitted my DNA, and apparently that was not something that was part of whatever issue that he was speaking of. And then,
I'm sorry, just so we're clear. So an officer told you that you were a suspect in a crime involving an assault, is that right?
He said I matched the description of a Hispanic man, and there was some type of correlation with phone numbers.
And are you Hispanic?
No, I'm Italian.
All right. And you said you voluntarily gave a DNA sample?
Correct.
And have you heard anything about that since?
No. To my knowledge, that was just, and I asked him what would happen if I did give that sample. He said that if it was not related to the case, it would be destroyed.
All right. And then thereafter, you got the rejection letter from the city of Torrington, which referenced only the 10/10/2016 incident, is that right?
Correct.
And you had applied, as I think I said, for your permit in December of 2020, is that right?
Correct.
And you had taken the safety course in 2015, is that right?
Correct.
Why did the five-year delay between the course and the application?
In the week that I took the permit course, I was in the process of moving. I ended up losing the permit during the pandemic when we had a lot of free time to clean the house out for source. And I did stumble across a box of mine that did have my permit, so I submitted it.
Let me ask you a few questions. Have you been involved in any recent threats or acts of violence?
No.
Have you been involved in recent threats or acts of violence toward yourself or to anyone else?
No.
Have you been involved in any recent acts of cruelty to animals?
No.
Ever at all?
No, never.
And the first two questions I should have asked you, have you been involved in violence or threatening behavior at all to anyone, ever?
Never.
Have you ever recklessly used or displayed a firearm or any deadly weapon?
Never.
Have you had any history of use, attempted use, or threat of physical force against any person?
No.
Have you ever been voluntarily confined for psychiatric disabilities?
Unless this day in question constitutes as that, no.
Other than the 10/10/2016?
Other than that, no, never.
All right, and you weren't confined, were you? You were brought to the hospital and you were released.
I was for observation, so I wasn't. It was not a long term stay in the hospital.
All right. And have you ever used any sort of drugs?
No.
Marijuana?
No.
Cocaine? Anything?
No.
Never used it?
No.
Do you consume alcohol?
I do socially on occasion with my fiance.
What is that effect on occasion?
After a work week, we go out for dinner, have a drink, and it's done.
Have you been under the influence over the limit, drunk, let's say, recently?
No.
Do you believe that you're a fit person to own a firearm?
Absolutely.
Do you assure this board that you would have no problem if they granted your application?
Absolutely.
All right. I have nothing further for this witness.
Sir, do you live in Torrington?
Yes.
Is that just the second home in Italy, or did I catch that?
So I'm the first of my immediate family born in the United States, so we have a home in Italy, which unfortunately, due to my father passing away last June, has now been passed on to me and my sisters.
Okay. But you're residing in Torrington?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Sergeant, do you have any questions for the appellant?
Nothing for him.
Does the board have any questions? Chief?
Just a clarification, and I think I understand what you were saying, but maybe you used the wrong term. You said you lost your permit?
Yeah, physically.
If I may, I'm sorry.
The paper,
certificate, the firearms training certificate. That's what I thought you meant, but you said you couldn't find your permit.
It's a bunch of box of stuff that I didn't.
So, of course, it made me think you had one and lost.
You didn't lose a pistol permit.
No. I lost this.
I thought that's what he meant, but before I assumed that, I want to be clear. Thank you.
Other questions? Counsel, any other witnesses?
Yes, I do have the appellant's fiance here, and I'd like her to testify, but if it's acceptable to the board, I'd like the appellant to leave.
The appellant to leave?
To just be out of the room when I ask her a few questions.
I guess that's up to you.
It is recorded. It is a public record. Mm-hmm. Just to give you a heads up on that. I'm not saying. No, I'm just letting you know that it's not like that's not a public record.
No, I understand.
So if he gets curious and decides to hear what she said, that's not. So just to let her, just to make you feel it's not going to be protected that way. So if he feels like I want to hear what she said, just to give you a heads up.
Ma'am, what is your name?
Alexis Cloutier.
How do you spell your last name?
C L O U T I E R.
All right. And do you know the appellant?
I do.
How do you know him?
He's my fiance.
Yes, you're gonna, actually, if you could switch. That's the microphone in question, so if you could.
I'm sorry, how do you know the appellant?
He's my fiance.
How long have you known each other?
Since September of 2020.
And do you live together?
We do.
How long have you lived together? January of 2022?
Yes.
And you live together now?
We do.
Do the two of you have any children?
Not together. I have my own two.
You have two children?
I do.
How old are they?
14 and 10.
And do they live with you and the appellant?
They do.
All right. You understand that he's asking this board to allow him to obtain a firearm?
Yes.
You understand that?
I do.
Do you have any concerns about that?
No.
For you or your children?
No.
Have you noticed any or witnessed any of the behavior that was described in the October 10, 2016 incident that gives you concern?
No.
If he's allowed to obtain a firearm, you're okay with that?
Absolutely.
You tell the board members
yes.
that? You have no concerns
None.
About his behavior or his suitability to own a firearm?
None whatsoever.
And again, for either you or your children, is that right?
No.
All right. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Sergeant, do you have any cross?
I do not.
Does the board have any questions of the witness? Seeing none, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, just briefly. He admits that this incident on October 10, 2016 occurred. That's almost seven years ago. He's gainfully employed at a responsible position, has been for some period of time, has no incidents with his employer. Has no criminal record, never been arrested, not even a motor vehicle violation. For the testimony of his fiancée, who has lived with him for the last 2 years with her own two children, she has no concerns about his suitability to own a firearm. He's not been involved in any, other than this one incident in October of 2016, he's not been involved in any incidents that I believe should cause the board concern to deny his appeal here. And I'd ask the board to uphold his appeal. I don't know.
Thank you, Counsel Sergeant. Would you like to make a closing statement?
Nothing further, ma'am.
Okay, brief factual.
This is a denial by the City of Torrington's Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial is one incident that occurred in 2016 in which the appellant's mother called. She was concerned for the appellant's well-being. The only evidence we have regarding that incident is the emergency committal form, and she explained thought of harming himself, but there was no description given on the EC form. The appellant was transported to Charlotte Hungerford Hospital for evaluation. Looks like he got there like 1 in the morning or so, a little later after, so looks like he spent most of the day there before being released. I don't see, there's no testimony regarding follow-up other than don't drink alcohol. The appellant has no criminal history, has a stable job, is engaged, no other issues.
I'm sorry, ma'am, may I ask one question or is it too late? Of the appellant.
Oh, go ahead.
Can you just go tell the board what is your relationship with your mother now?
Fantastic relationship. Never was in question before, during, or after.
How old is she?
Sixty something.
All right, thank you.
Retired. Anybody have any questions? Anybody?
No.
Okay. Comments by the board?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to clarify to the sergeant. I actually represent the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services on this board. And before retiring, I was the medical director for the service system that the appellant works in. I do not know him. I just wanted to make sure that you did not feel that I had any conflict. Back to reviewing the record. There's a very complete record from the emergency room visit with a discharge diagnosis of uncomplicated alcohol intoxication with an overnight stay. Based on what I presume was a call from a concerned parent at the time. April 7th, 2023 letter from the appellant's primary care doctor was very thorough and very supportive of the appellant's mental status and capability. And so based on that information, the appellant's testimony, the testimony of his fiance, that will inform my vote.
Keith?
I have almost the same comments as the doctor. We see a lot of these cases where someone has been, an emergency committal is done, they're evaluated. Often we don't get the medical records to go along with that. The records, from the best I can read them, seem pretty complete. It's more than we usually get. And the doctor's letter is powerful in the sense that it is addressed to the Board of Firearms Permit Examiners. The doc's aware. Appellant is applying to get a gun and even ends his letter with that he is currently physically and mentally stable to be responsible for a firearm. So we don't see that too often, and that's a good thing.
Other comments? Okay. Chief Rosenzweig.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Colonel Overture.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Steady.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
Appellant.
Chair votes appellant. 7 people here, 7-0 appellant. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.